Alrighty, welcome back everybody to the Trade Writers Podcast, the comic book club, where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, your brother. We're Nathan. We read comics.
Yes, we do. This one says book on it, so counts as a book.
That means a book.
That means we read a book.
Book club.
Yeah, book club.
Yeah.
Murder book club.
Yeah. Love a murder book club. We got different time codes in our description. We got the book, which is murder book. We got Back Matter Matters in the poll list, but we start with the news. Did you have any news?
Did anything even happen?
I think everyone took the week off.
I think so.
You know, between holidays, which is understandable. This is something I had written down last week, but I forgot to say.
Okay.
An inside source says that Lila Starr has been optioned.
Ooh.
Somehow. There's an app.
Okay.
It's called like Comics something. And it like kind of tells you the value of certain books, like for raw and graded, sure, and what they are new and whatnot. And then they'll have like a little caption box if it's like first appearance or something, or if something's been acquired or whatever, or okay, optioned. And that's my inside source. It's just some app that says that Lila Starr
has the value of that book go up.
I don't think by a lot.
Mm.
If anything, it's just cover price, you know.
Interesting.
So, that's something that'd be interesting.
But what makes that like an option for a TV show? It could be like some...
So, someone bought the rights and they have the rights to produce it, but they may not.
Okay. Okay.
So, it could be anything. It could be live action or animated. Probably just an animated movie would be really sick.
That would be sweet. I would like that. Obama didn't have any comics on his like
whack
book list this year.
Mm-hmm.
He had Ducks, I think, a couple years ago or last year. I can't remember which. A
couple years ago, yeah.
Yeah. So I was looking for that. Fuck?
What about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? He had like Swamp Thing on there a couple years ago.
He did? Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. He knows ball.
He knows ball. Well, he is a Hall of Famer.
That's the only way that guy knows ball. So.
Oh, he's promoting his graphic novel called Champion.
He made one?
Yeah.
Famous guy?
Illustrations by Ed LaRoche.
Oh, okay. He's a guy.
He is a guy.
Mm-hmm. Did we talk about this last week? The Doomsday thing?
The Doomsday
trailer?
Oh, no. I don't think we talked about it.
Okay. That's the thing. They brought him. They brought Bro back.
Wow.
That's cool. I also saw that like Free Comic Book Day isn't going to be like a thing anymore.
I thought it was going to be a thing again.
It was like...
Because do you remember... Was there one this year?
There was one this last May.
Okay, what was a free book? Oh, yeah, because me and you were there.
Yeah, we were both there. But apparently since
like Big Diamond was one of them,
went bankrupt, they had technically the rights to that. And now there's a company that acquired the rights to Free Comic Book Day. But they're going to change it and make it giveaway day. And then include like other mediums instead of free comics. So it'll be like for stores that have like little board games and stuff like that too.
Uh-huh.
So apparently that might be a thing. And then there's going to be other companies that only like do print media and they're going to do their own version of that. So the like official one that was like acquired and then renamed is still going to happen on the first Saturday of May, which I think is May 2nd in this year, but it's going to be called something else is what I think the theory is.
And now you're going to be here.
Dude, I won't be here.
Nope.
Too
bad.
Do they have comics in Japan?
Yeah.
There's only manga.
They have manga.
Oh, no.
I'm sure they have American stuff. But I don't think they have Free Comic Book Day.
Can you pick up some free comics for me? I'm going to pick you up a manga.
Wow.
Yeah. Spoilers.
Yeah, I'll pick. I normally am just picking stuff up because I can get like five or whatever.
Yeah.
But I'll keep you in mind.
Okay, cool.
Nathan, you know Fantastic Four, how they had like that prequel comic for the movie?
Yeah, vaguely.
First Steps. There's another one coming out called First Foes.
Fantastic Four First Foes?
Yep.
Quadruple F.
FFFF. Yeah, and it'll be written by Dan Slott, art by Mark Buckingham again. I didn't get that other one because it was gone by the time I looked for it.
But you looked for it?
Like, I didn't go in the week it came out, and so it was gone.
What's up with Mark Buckingham?
Yeah, because he's going to do the Wonder Man.
Yeah, he's back on some shit.
So, but these are just like one shot, so maybe he got him done.
Oh, okay. That's fair. So, good for him. What was he on? What's his like famous thing?
Fables?
Fables. That's him?
Not the issues we read, but like after that, that's what it is. Him.
Mm-hmm. Good for him.
Yeah, dude. I was looking at Comics Beat today, and they haven't even like posted any news since like the 23rd.
To be fair, I don't think a whole lot of publishing companies are doing a whole lot right now. Anyway,
that's true. Yeah, like what would there be to say?
You know? Yeah, so not a whole lot of news, but that's okay.
That's okay because we got our Trade Raiders Award winners.
Yes, we do.
Have you put some thought into this?
I put some thought into The Colorists, but I forgot everything else that we had talked about.
Okay. Good. So, here we are.
The official Trade Raiders Awards.
In our first category, Nathan.
Mm-hmm. The nominees.
The nominees for Best New Marvel are Daredevil, Cold Day in Hell.
Pretty good.
Avengers versus Aliens.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Not bad.
You got anything?
No.
No. All right. Who do we think?
Probably Daredevil.
Daredevil it is. Congratulations. Charles Soule and... Was that Steve McNiven?
Yeah.
Nice.
Isn't that crazy?
Very crazy.
Yeah, that's a good book, man. Three issues way out of left field for kind of both of them, I feel like.
Especially when we just read like Civil War. Which is his normal kind of style, it seems like.
Yeah. More commercial. But this one, he's like, let's get weird.
I think.
I mean, very clearly like a Frank Miller in style or Frank Miller inspired, you know, art style.
Yeah.
But it works. It works really well.
Mm-hmm.
So I like it. A little short story, three issues, even though it was like triple sized. So it was mainly like.
Could have been four or five, you know, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, I would have been too. But pretty cool. I like that.
In the next category, best new DC, Nathan.
Mm-hmm.
We got Absolute Martian Manhunter.
Yes, we do.
We got
Superman Kryptonite Spectrum.
Superman Kryptonite Spectrum, that's correct.
Yep, we got that one. And then we have
Krypto.
Krypto to Superdog.
Dog of Krypton, I think.
Justice League Unlimited. That was new?
Yeah, that is new.
Was it? I read one issue.
Justice League of America?
No, it's Justice League Unlimited.
No, what was the Jeff Lemire one?
Oh, that's Justice League of America, yeah.
Yeah. Or no, was that Justice Society? JSA? I think it's JSA.
I think it was JSA, actually, yeah.
That's a new thing. We didn't read it. I'm just thinking of things.
I read like two or three issues.
Yeah.
And then I fell off of it. Absolute. Another Absolute happened. Absolute Flash, was that this year?
Maybe.
That could have also maybe been one, too. But to me, it's either Absolute Martian Manhunter or Superman Kryptonite Spectrum. Because they're both pretty incredible.
I think when it comes to what I'll revisit sooner, I think it's going to be Absolute Martian Manhunter.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I do like what they're doing with Kryptonite Spectrum, but Martian Manhunter is just so different from, like, everything that's out there. So it's Kryptonite Spectrum, but like we're kind of used to their style of comics with like Ice Cream Man, I guess.
Yeah, but what makes me lean towards Superman is that it's a Superman story and it feels very different.
Yeah.
And to make something that I think has value like that for a Superman story is like pretty rare.
Yeah, and but do they have a page where you put it up to the light and it's got a thing?
That's true. My mouth dropped.
They're pushing the boundaries.
They are pushing the boundaries.
I mean, they're both pushing the boundaries. This is really hard.
Dude, I know. Did we give Zatanna the title last year? Did I force you to do that? Because that's Javier Rodriguez as well. The artist.
No, we gave it to Ian Bertram.
For what? No, I'm saying for Best New DC.
Oh, we did give it to Zatanna.
Okay, so Javier Rodriguez already. I mean, he's still kind of the GOAT, though.
I mean, I'm willing to do Kryptonite Spectrum if we give Best Penciler to Javier Rodriguez.
Mm. do a little bit of insider trading.
Yeah. A little.
Okay. I'm happy with that.
Okay. Okay. Compromise. So best penciler.
Because when it comes to the best penciler, I don't know if Martin Marazzo is necessarily hits me in the style that I like Javier Rodriguez does.
Yeah.
So I feel better putting Javier Rodriguez as potentially best penciler. Who knows? We got other nominees. Who else we got?
Okay. Best new indie, Nathan.
Oh, best new indie book.
Everything Dead and Dying.
I like it.
New thing. Good. Oh, we didn't say Spider-Man Noir as a Marvel thing, but I don't think
it's not too being new. Daredevil.
Not enough, yeah.
Yeah, there's two issues. Could be a Nacho series.
Who's to say?
Who's to say? A lot of these still could
Everything
be.
Everything that has just come out could be a Nacho series.
Yeah, potential. Right now, we're loving the Nachos, but who knows if it'll keep going and
I think the indie book that's a clear winner that would sweep if we had multiple indie awards, it would be Drome.
100%.
100% Drome.
I still think about that book. I almost bought my own copy, but it's like $40.
Is it?
Yeah. I think the copy that you got was because it was, did you do like a Kickstarter or something?
No, I got it at the store.
Dude, I looked at it when I was getting this murder book present, and it was like $40.
Dang.
And it is like,
I must have had a light week or something.
It is like one of my favorite things I think I've ever read, but wow. I was like, fucking $40.
I kind of forgot a lot about it. But which is great for a reread.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, that's good.
Yeah. That's kind of how I'm playing, just reading comics, you know.
I would say like one of my favorite things visually, I think I've ever read.
Sure. Super fun.
Because story wise, that's kind of like up to you. I feel like a lot of it.
You just had the story.
It's kind of a choose your no. I'm saying there's not like a whole lot of like deep seated lore and you don't like because a lot of it's silent, which I think works towards Jesse Lonergan's style very well.
Yeah.
Which makes it deserving of this award.
I think he probably just had to put words in it in order to get it published.
Yeah, I think so. But if there could be a runner-up, it would probably be like Beneath the Trees, Rite of Passage.
Or Spring.
Rite of Spring, thank you. Or it could be the one that you said.
Everything Dead and Dying.
Everything Dead and Dying.
Mm-hmm.
That's good too. Although I'm worried about that book. After this last issue, because I'm like, well, what now?
Oh, did you read the last issue?
I think it was like 4.
Yeah.
Spoilers for that book, I guess. But I'm like, there's no more zombie family.
Yeah.
Who am I supposed to protect?
It's probably a revenge book now.
Who cares now? You know? So that could be a Nacho series.
He's pissed off.
Is that supposed to be a ongoing or no. Like a 5?
Mini.
5. Okay. Well, then maybe it'll be good.
We'll see. So congratulations, Drome. Yeah, Jesse Lonergan.
Congrats, Drome. Jesse Lonergan.
Next category, best trade that we've reviewed this year in 2025.
We did a lot this year, Daniel.
Sure did.
About as much as every other year.
Yep.
We have, you know, just some noms. You loved the Dead Man book. You loved Spider-Man Wedding. You loved...
That was interesting.
You loved Red Sonja.
Oh, no, I didn't.
You loved Fantastic Four, 1, 2, 3, 4.
The art's good.
You loved a DC mech.
Oh, God. That, that killed Big Robo Month.
That killed Big Robo
Month. I couldn't do it anymore.
You're like, no more Big Robos. I'm done.
Dude, fucking Giant Robot Hellboy still hasn't come out as a trade.
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I would have bought you that. I thought of that for fucking Christmas. Because I was like, Dad, I would fucking love this because I love it.
You know what? I was looking at Hellboy statues. There's a giant robot Hellboy statue.
And there's no trade?
No trade.
You just put the damn pages together.
Maybe it'll be collected with something else or something.
God.
Sometimes there'll be like a Hellboy trade and it'll be like Hellboy, blah, 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 and other stories. Maybe it's like an other story.
Mm.
So we'll see.
We sure will.
Yeah, Little Bird.
Little Bird's so good.
Big popular. Predator versus Wolverine. I think we're big fans. A lot of art on it.
I like that one, yeah.
Yeah. Cool stories.
We did do Beneath the Trees this year as well.
That is a banger. We were saving it.
We were.
For Sarah.
And she probably thought it was fine.
Probably.
Then we had DC Horror Presents The Conjuring, The Lover.
Yeah, that's got another award coming its way.
Frankenstein Alive Alive.
Yeah, that's fun. Good.
But I think if you could narrow it down to like one or two, what would it be?
Beneath the Trees.
I think Beneath the Trees or Little Bird.
You know, Little Bird, I don't think I enjoyed like throughout as much as I did for Beneath the Trees.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it's just gotta, it's just Beneath the Trees.
Okay.
And
yeah, I think I'm cool with that too.
Yeah.
We had a lot of good stuff. We had War Month.
Yeah.
We did two themed months, two and three quarters of three, one and three quarters of a themed month.
Yeah, dude, that was awesome.
Yeah, Beneath the Trees, where nobody sees.
Congratulations.
Go check it out. That shit rules.
Yeah, that's like such an accessible book.
Yeah, yeah, it really is.
Best nacho series, Nathan. Got to do it.
Yeah, we do have to do it. For those that don't know, negatively. Nacho series is a term I came up with for a book that starts really fucking strong. You love it. You want to eat it all up. But the more you eat it / read it, the more like kind of stale as it gets. And it kind of feels like all the interesting stuff is like front loaded to make
it cold.
Yeah, it gets cold. Chips get a little soggy, you know, and you're like, I'm going to stop eating these now. Mm-hmm. Like, how many nachos have you actually like fucking knocked out completely? You know what I mean? Because a lot of times if you get nachos, you're like sharing with people and then it just kind of gets to the point where it's like, I mean, there's still stuff here. You could eat it. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to.
Yeah.
So that's the comic comparison. So
very
really good stuff.
Fine this analogy.
Year. Well, not a whole lot of nacho series, which doesn't mean that there's not a lot of bad series. They were just bad from the get go. You know what I mean?
Right.
So not a whole lot of stuff this year. It felt like started really strong and ended not
this
that
is
great.
A tough category because there isn't a lot that falls off like that.
Yeah, you know, and stuff either can certainly become a nacho series in like 1 year, or like in the year that it is. Like it doesn't have to start and become a nacho series in the year, I don't think.
Because it's normally stuff that's like pretty solid quality throughout, mm-hmm. or starts off shitty so you don't keep reading it. So, yeah.
So like
this is one of those things that you, I think, maybe let build up. You know, you don't catch up right away. And then you catch up, you're like, oh no, I should have been up on this.
That's it too. So I think one that we threw out was, even though we nominated it for a best Marvel series, Avengers versus Alien, just because it kind of ends in a weird way.
That book is just kind of bittersweet because it is memorizing to look at, mm-hmm. mesmerizing. And it's not quite the ending that I was looking for that would have been the cherry on top.
Yeah.
You know, like it's fine. But it's really not where I thought I was going. Yeah.
Not to say that it's like a bad ending.
And it wraps up just way just too different. Quickly, it felt like.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was what, four issues?
Yeah, could have been
kind
really
of an impossible like thing to really wrap up with how big Hickman normally writes. Like, how often does he normally do four-issue series?
Like, never.
Never, because he dude's yapping too much.
Mm-hmm.
So, that could be one. But we also have
Absolute Superman.
Absolute Superman.
Which, to kick off the new universe for the Superman that we know and love and how, but
incredible
everything
start.
That's different. Yeah.
Great, great first trade. Mm-hmm. That's all that I've read up to. So I would have to leave that to you, but I've heard a general consensus online that it's like, why does Absolute Superman have no motion?
Right.
And so how far have you read into it?
I have to see how many I have. Yeah, I only had the first trade, so five. And so that's what I gave. That's as far as I went with the Absolute stuff.
Yeah.
Except for Martian Manhunter. Like, I wanted to not just look at it issue to issue. Yeah. I'm like, I'll give it an arc. They're trying to establish things. That should be sort of a bubble in itself.
Yeah.
And then if I want more, I'll keep getting it. But yeah, I just got to five and it just, there is like cool stuff.
Yeah.
Throughout, looks incredible. But I'm just like,
there's kind of a,
I wasn't sure, like I kind of get where it was going, but it wasn't getting there quite fast enough.
Mm-hmm. And he was trying to do like a bunch of weird stuff with Lois Lane, like those peacemakers. And I understand like the metaphor he's trying to make.
Yeah.
But I don't think it moves in a very satisfying way.
Right. It's a great looking Krypton too. There's a lot of Krypton stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That I enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's plenty to enjoy about this. I think just for me and what, like, the pacing that I wanted, it just wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if, like, it finishes up and overall it's just kind of praised, like maybe all together it's like really good, or maybe the issue that really hooks me was like issue number 8 or something. Yeah. You know, so just out of what I've read, it wasn't, and just a super strong number one.
Oh yeah,
you know, knocked me on my ass. I was telling you, I'm like, you gotta read it.
You're like, it's the best one.
It was my favorite number one.
You literally told me it was the best one so far.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, the other ones were so fun.
Yeah, so.
What kind of nachos were they for you?
Kryptonite nachos. Nice. What?
Well, like, there's sometimes like nachos that it's like, oh my God, it's so fucking good at first.
I think one that has like a melted cheese on it. And then
it hardens. Just
hardens, yeah.
That's so apt.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh my God, this cheese goes crazy.
Yeah, for sure.
First couple bites, immaculate.
Mm-mm.
Okay, well, what's our next category?
Best writer.
Best writer. You know, you got your absolute people.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Scott, Mrs. Kelly Thompson. You got
Miss, I think.
Don't know her marital status.
Yeah.
Who's the one on Marshmallow?
Dennis Camp.
He's had a big year.
Big year.
All he does Ultimates too.
Yeah.
Didn't love it. But that was last year.
Sure. Well, everything's last year.
True.
You mean the year before that's when Ultimates started?
Yeah. That's when Ultimates started. Yeah.
I thought people really liked that one.
Yeah, they do. Or the first one, I was like, what are we doing?
Maybe you're wrong.
I think I am. I haven't given it a good enough chance.
I'm sure I'd like a sort of crisis events if I kept going with it. But
I like that first issue. I thought it was interesting, but I wasn't drawn in enough.
Slim pickings around here.
Yeah,
you exactly. Gotta just be strict and real brutal with the cuts.
Yeah.
So
gotta be a tough consumer. But
I think just Dennis Camp kind of came out of nowhere this last year.
Yeah, he's definitely had the biggest glow up.
And everyone's talking about him. Everyone's reading everything.
Yeah.
And so I think this is just a monumental year for him. Who knows if he can run it back to back in 2026.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I agree. I think
that seems like a clear winner for me.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty.
I would agree.
Yeah, the best penciler.
Best penciler.
Javier Rodriguez.
We've already given it to him. Honorable mentions, though.
Dan Mora.
Hayden Sherman. What the fuck are you on, Hayden Sherman?
Correct.
How did you do that?
Lots of crack,
probably. Because he got Batman Into the Unbeing, Volume 1 and 2, last couple years.
Into the Unbeing was last year?
Yeah. The Volume 2 was this year.
Are you sure that was him?
No.
Into the...
I thought it was.
Well, you weren't confident with it.
Well, you challenged me on it.
Oh, Part 2? Holy shit, it is him.
Yeah, see? Isn't that crazy?
How'd he do that?
I don't know. If we had an award for dude that's hustling the most,
yeah, for
it'd
sure.
It'd be between Hayden Sherman and probably Denise Camp.
Right, yeah.
But we'd give it to Hayden Sherman. Last year, it definitely would have been like Dan Mora.
Right.
But she's still doing a lot of shit. But yeah, I feel comfortable giving it to him.
Cool. Congrats. Best colorist.
We've never given it to Jordy Blair.
Jordy Blair, congratulations.
It's a little bit criminal. But I was reading Batman today and I was like, God, Tamuyu More or whatever his name is. He's really good at what he does.
Definitely.
Tomo. I don't know how to say his name.
Jordy Blair, always killing it. And did plenty of great work this year.
Most of the like incredible books, both.
It's kind of like the Leo year. For them, like plenty of great work.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so this is just the year that they get it, you know? Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah. Especially with Jordy Blair, like a lot of the biggest, most popular books, just from comics in general, both Big Two and in indie stuff from the last couple of years, her name's probably attached to it. At least a good few of them.
Especially shit that we've read.
Yeah. So I've always been a big fan of hers. She hustles quite a bit and puts out incredible, very dynamic work, I feel like. So Yeah, gotta give it to her.
Like, if you're reading a book, and you're like, this is kick-ass coloring. Who is that? Chances are.
Isn't that... Dana Warren Johnson doesn't color himself, right? Is that Mike Spicer?
Yeah.
He's great, too. Better luck next time.
Yeah.
Maybe do another good wrestling book with Dana Warren Johnson. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we're a little late to that one.
Yeah.
Stan Sakai's Best Letterer.
Stan Sakai's Best Letterer Award. Yep, of course.
I was thinking Becca Carey.
Okay.
Who is on Absolute Wonder Woman.
Cool.
I thought she kicked ass.
Yeah, big fan of hers. She did a really strong one, especially in that first volume that we read. Big Monster Noises. They got a lot of like spiritual stuff happening.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, whether it was Hayden Sherman or her, I don't even know. That's how ingrained the lettering is in that book. Is like, did Hayden do this or did
we're reading did so much it? That it's hard for that sort of thing like stand out mm-hmm. to us. And that one, you're like, oh shit, this is clever. This is smart.
Yeah, really good idea. Yeah, I think smart's the best way to put it.
And so, you okay with that?
Congrats, Becca Carey, for winning Stan Sakai's lettering award,
the honorary.
Don't worry.
Best prestige book. I think
did that all die?
Yeah.
There's some like Chip Zdarsky one that came out.
We might have to retire this one.
We can retire that.
But next year.
We'll see.
Next year we'll retire.
Okay.
Should we give it to The Missionary? Because they had like two.
I like that book.
I haven't read it.
I read the first one.
But that was like December last year, I think.
The second one? Or the first one?
The first one.
Hmm.
Did you read number two?
I haven't read any.
Really? You haven't read The Missionary?
I read the first one.
Oh, okay.
I have the second one, but I don't think I've read any prestige-sized books this year.
I read White House Robot Romance.
Yeah.
And that was okay. That's pretty good. I read that other one, Time Waits. That was good, too.
Is that the Chip Zdarsky one?
Yeah. Hmm. Both Chip Zdarsky ones.
Nice. So I'll leave that to you, I guess. We can give it to The Missionary. I like.
Well, I don't want it to be like just the distillery award, you know.
But like, what are the other ones?
There used to be like the
DC Black Label stuff,
but then they like kind of are doing that.
They kind of backed off on that.
Yeah.
Did they have
we'll just put a snooze on that one this year.
Yeah, I think so.
But I don't want to mention The Missionary. Biggest back matter. This isn't really a thing we vote on. It just
happens.
Just the fact. The Conjuring the Lever had 49 pages of back matter.
It pains me.
Because it included all of the backup stories from the issues.
They went on a technicality just because I didn't want to write notes on the short stories. Award. Yeah, they must have.
They're like, I know I would be shooting.
We win something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really had high hopes for that just because, like, there are no Conjuring comics, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, this could be so cool.
I can see why.
DC, you know, it's perfect because Warner Brothers or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, some things don't translate well.
Could be a cool comic.
I don't see how.
If
I know this isn't the best representation of The Conjuring as, like, a franchise or a story or anything, or a comic book.
But, like a nun book or something. Could be cool.
I haven't seen that movie.
You've that seen The cool. Nun, though.
I've seen the... No, I just told you
You've
haven't.
Seen the figure, the character of the nun. You know what that looks like.
Like
that could look really creepy on pages. You know?
Maybe.
It could be good.
I haven't seen The Nun.
Or La Llorona book.
That'd be cool.
Anyway.
Yeah, congrats, I guess.
Best the Conjuring. Best comic by someone who doesn't make comics.
I think it's just Big Rig.
I think it's just Big Rig.
Yeah. Post Malone, he's like, we're doing some... Most recently, we're doing some more Big Rig. Really mm-hmm. excited for that. But I think that was the most explosive one, or like the biggest one, in the comics.
It really overshadowed any other ones, if there was.
Yeah, if there were. I think there were some, but like I have a hard time even thinking of any other ones right now.
Yeah, so that means that's a clear winner.
Do you think I could Google celebrities that made comics this year?
You can try.
The Paul Dano one was last year, right? Or 2 years ago, maybe?
I think 23.
Gerard Way had something new, didn't he?
Oh. is like Scar Gardens or something.
Yeah.
But we didn't read that.
Nope. Yeah, I just see one list of like celebrities that have made their own comics, but not from this year. So yeah. Good job, Post Malone.
Alrighty. What book do we read this week, Nathan?
This week we read Murder Book by Ed Brisson and a whole cast of artists. So it is a short story anthology, crime anthology, I would say. Mm-hmm. And a murder book, Daniel, I found out from this book, is, let me read it, a term used by detectives to refer to a case file on a homicide investigation. Murder books typically include crime scene photographs and sketches, autopsy, forensic reports, transcripts of investigators' notes, and witness interviews. It chronicled the life of a case from the time the murder is reported until an arrest is made. That's the idea behind this book, I guess. So, what do you think? This is your Christmas gift from me to you this year, and I found it randomly. Because you've read a lot of damn comics, so I got to figure out one that would work.
There's actually plenty that I haven't read. I think if you throw like a dart at like a
yeah, but then it'd be like a fucking X-Men complete collection or something. A lot of the time, you know, there's like a lot of those, so to filter those out alone is like kind of tough.
Just don't throw it in the X carrot category.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, dude. Every time I go to a comic shop, I'm like really overwhelmed. Like I'll like kind of know of most of them, but then like I'm like, I really haven't read that much. It feels like
that's what I feel like.
All even the time. 300 episodes in, there's way more than 300 actually.
There's so many. We thought there was only 300.
Yeah, that would be dumb by now. We're still going. I was really only planning on doing like 80.
Yeah, but
yeah. I thought this was awesome. This is pretty cool. I was super into this.
Really? Okay, cool.
Yeah, I mean, I love crime comics.
Me too.
And I love short comics. You know, so like
short comics are pretty sweet. There's some really short ones in here. Some of them are like 5 pages.
Like, yeah, I know. Like, as soon as my attention span was waning a little bit, it was over. Yeah. And I'm like, wow.
Like, okay, we're done. This is a TikTok of crime comics.
And there's not like a ton of like action per se, mm-mm, but it's just like great dialogue.
There's a lot of, I think you call them like needle drop moments where it's like someone will say something and be like, oh, that means that this is happening.
A twist.
Oh my God.
I think needle drop is like when a song comes on in a movie.
No. What, like a vinyl needle?
Yeah.
No.
That can't be right.
That can't be right. I didn't realize it was all black and white until I started reading this. So that's fun. I like a good black and white crime comic.
Yeah.
Some people are really good at it. And some people are like, did they think that this was going to be colored? Because everything's very bright.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, some of them had like gray tone artists.
Yeah, which is great. All those are pretty phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's very clear why that role exists in creating comics when I read it. Mm-hmm. For me. Also, we get some pretty early work from artists that we love on the show, Michael Walsh and Declan Shalvey. And I've become a fan of Jason Copeland in a few of these. I think he's great.
Yeah, definitely.
So let's get into it. So there's like 11 or 12 short stories, but we're going to just kind of go through each one.
I think it's 15.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, that works too.
So the first one's The Orchard by Damien Cusiero, or Cusiro. It starts with this guy named Charles. He gets a call from his drunk police partner, Jack, saying that he has the man that killed Heather. And this is, I guess, some past case that they had that the guy got away. But Charles gets picked up by Jack and they drive out somewhere remote. Jack wants to beat the shit out of him. And Charles is like, I can't be a part of this. So he walks off. And Jack is beating the shit out of him, but accidentally kills him in the process. So Charles now has to cover for Jack, gives him new clothes and all that stuff. They leave the body and Jack gets some new clothes. And we find out that Charles has had an affair with Jack's wife. And then the body is found a couple months later. And they're like, I don't know.
Well, when we find out about the affair, he's like, yeah, we should stop this.
Yeah.
Because
he's going
to
kill me.
He didn't say to her that he just killed a guy because he was mad.
Yeah. Imagine but what he happens could be if he next found
it. Yeah. If he found out about that.
Imagine.
Yeah. There was this part where it kind of looks like a little Mice and Men where he's like on this hill.
I'm like, is he going to kill him too?
I thought that. I'm like,
he's like, look at the sunset.
He's like, it took it he took it too far, and now he's got a witness, got to kill the witness or something.
Yeah, that could have happened too. That would have been crazy.
Yeah, I didn't like expect like a twist, like, because this is the first one that kicks it off, you know? Yeah.
And so you're like, this is a pretty crazy story already.
And I'm like, what is this, like a 10 pager, 20 pager?
This one's a bit of a longer one. I think this one's actually 20 pages.
Okay. I think I counted it, and 20 seemed like a lot compared to a lot of these.
20 is one of the bigger ones for sure.
And so if it was just like anthology issues, that'd be cool too.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of like what Junji Ito does, you know, like he'll have like a lot of little ideas. He'll work it out.
These are a bit longer though.
And then, yeah, true. But he doesn't necessarily have to like end them or extend them more than he needs to.
Yeah. Just enough to like get the idea, like the concept out there of how he decides to tell that story, I think is the interesting thing.
And then he's like,
not necessarily how it resolves.
He's kind of like burning through like a lot of different ideas that could probably be, you know, pushed together to make one story.
Yeah.
Like, what? You're running out of ideas, dude. Like,
you're doing
this is all the good stuff.
You're doing a buddy cop murder thing and an affair, and we're doing all this?
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, he's got tons of ideas in this. So.
Mm-hmm.
But the next story is Trickle by Vic Malorta. Malotra. By the way, Ed Brisson did the lettering for all these too, which I think is interesting.
Yeah, respect. Yeah. I think he started out as a letter.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
That sounds like a thing that I've heard him say.
Mm-hmm.
So Brad goes to his apartment and is surprised to find that his drug boss, Sandra, is there with a bodyguard. Sandra explains that she found out that Brad is lying about how many drugs he's selling and pocketing like the extra kilos or like the money from selling those. And so cutting Sandra and her bosses out of the extra money. And Sandra convinces Brad that her boss will come in and kill him like for all of this. And is like, maybe you should kill yourself because either way, you're going to die. And then she leaves and Sandra tells her bodyguard to kill Brad and make it look like a suicide, implying that she is actually the one selling the extra stuff or the bodyguard person. I couldn't really tell who, but she knows that it's not Brad and then is going to make it look like he killed himself.
She was like, we wouldn't have to do this if you weren't so goddamn sloppy.
Yeah, I think it was just.
So I guess it could have been.
I think either. It was just like her level of the crime hierarchy messed up.
It made it seem like
the bodyguard was the one that's also selling, but it's also a bodyguard.
In my mind, she's covering for him.
By blaming it on
a lower guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, oh shit, okay.
Yeah, that's a cool one. Because Brad is like, how can I convince you that I didn't do this? And in my mind, I'm like, he's just trying to cover his ass. And then it's revealed he actually didn't do it.
Yeah.
I will say, then one critique of this book is that we don't get enough of people looking like having
through blinds
and having the blinds shine on their face.
Yeah.
Not enough of that for a murder book.
Mm-hmm. Then I got a book with plenty of murder and plenty of blinds shots.
What's that?
Sin City, baby.
Oh, true.
So much of that.
There's a lot of that in the X-Men one we read.
X-Factor. Mm-hmm.
This artist has very rigid cigarette smoke, and it just works. Like, I have...
Yeah, I saw that. And like
it's very geometric.
The white outline is really fun.
Yeah, super cool. He's
That's like what it looked like if someone was smoking in, like, the Spider-Verse movies.
Yeah, 100%. Like, Spider-Punk is doing it.
Yeah.
But yeah, fun story. Next one is Catching Up by Simon Roy. There's this dude, Don. He's in a bar. He recognizes his friend, Ken, who disappeared 4 years ago. So everybody figured that he was dead. Don fills in Ken on like Ken's wife remarrying and having a kid because she thought that Ken having disappeared is probably dead. But Ken doesn't want to say why he disappeared and moved to a different part of Canada. By the way, all of these are set in Canada, I'm pretty sure.
Ed Brisson's Canadian.
He's Canadian, yeah. So Ken invites Don out to get some more drinks and he promises an explanation, but on the way home, Ken takes Don's phone and secretly stages a suicide before throwing Don off of a bridge. Ken then makes a call on like a payphone to get like another new identity because he's been made. And I like, this one's a clever one because he takes Don's phone and he like texts his ex-wife and he's like, I'm so sorry about what I did to you. And then he calls like the suicide prevention number so that all that history is on there on his phone, so that it does look like a suicide.
Yeah.
And I just like the tension in this scene where he's about to throw him off the bridge, because you could tell that he calls the suicide prevention hotline and then he hangs up. But then he sees a car coming down the road. So he's like, oh, I can't throw this guy off the bridge yet.
Mm-hmm.
So then he does like the text, makes it a little more convincing. There's no more cars going down the road. So then he throws him off.
Yeah, he threw him off pretty easily. Like, he like is looking at him.
That's
in
a
one
big guy.
And then like just cleared the fence.
That's a big dude. I was thinking about this and I was like, could I do that to like an average person? And I don't think it'd be as easy as he seems to make it.
I guess if you push him and then just kind of lift the belt.
I think if he was unsuspecting and kind of leaning on the rails already, I could probably get under his legs and like flip him over.
Yeah, for sure.
But it'd have to be like pretty quick.
Yeah, I guess this dude's like an assassin or something. And I don't know why he's in his hometown or whatever, but.
He said he was traveling because he was sick of the cold of wherever he lives in Canada.
Hmm.
So
everywhere. Everywhere's cold, probably.
No, there's like, I don't know. I've never been there.
There's beachy areas, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably not. I don't know. I figured it's probably all cold, actually. So next one, Skimming the Till by Simon Roy as well. We get Jordan, who's a small store owner. He gets a call from the bank. He's facing some like debt foreclosure. He's like 10K in debt. And one day when his store is empty, a man tries to rob him. Jordan knocks the robber down and he uses the robber's gun to hold him hostage instead. And so he brings him to the car, to his car, and forces the man and his driver to rob another store that he knows is like super loaded with some cash. So he did like a Uno reverse kind of thing on them. But the robber successfully robs that store. They get away. Jordan keeps the money and the gun and just kind of walks off. But when he's walking back to his store, the same two people run him over and kill him. And they take the money and stuff. And there's some interesting sort of dark premises in here. He's like a coke addict. He like does coke in his store.
It's weird to be doing coke in your coffee shop. Like, just have some coffee.
Yeah. You know, seems a little counterintuitive.
You can have unlimited coffee.
Yeah. You can stay a little bit focused. And then he's kind of a hypocrite because he's judging these like people that, were they like meth heads or heroin addicts or something?
Junkies.
Junkies. Yeah. Junkies
in general. Drug, it matters that
and
much.
He's like, you guys fucking disgust me. And she's like, you were just doing coke in the back of this car.
Yeah.
But I like the concept of being like, you know what? I need some money and you're going to rob something for me. I think it's cool.
There's cool pages like in between some of the stories.
Yeah.
There's just splash pages of people. I don't even know if that's like any of the characters, but
no.
Pretty cool.
The scene where he gets hit by the car is drawn pretty well too, because you could feel the motion that's kind of going on. There's a lot of like speed lines kind of working there.
Mm-hmm.
And I might be a little bit crazy, but I feel like if you're hit by a car and you roll over it, you're chilling.
You're good.
You're not going to die.
So you get hit by the bumper, and the thing that we see that he hits is the windshield.
Yeah.
So he goes from bumper to windshield, not even touching the hood.
That's legs and so then your back.
That means they're going fast.
Yeah, that's true.
And probably his noggin.
True. You could knock your head pretty good. All right. I'll give it to him. So the next one is Our Home, with art by Jason Copeland and great tones by Paul Little. Some dude enters a house. He sends an email from the homeowner's email address threatening the email recipient's life, I guess.
Like a coworker, maybe?
Like a coworker. And then he goes upstairs and he's like, there's people sleeping. And then they wake up. And it's like, oh no, he's got a gun.
The wife is like, I think I hear someone in the house. And then he like grabs his gun.
Yeah. So he's going to kill him probably.
So he's downstairs. He's drinking the guy's beer. He's mm-hmm. fucking with his emails.
Yep.
This is like the weirdest petty theft ever.
It is.
And then he's just ready to kill.
I don't like this one. It's too short. I don't know what's going on. Is he like a, does he work for this guy?
There's definitely a lot of open-endedness, yeah. But yeah, not ranking too high up, but
yeah, but whatever. It's like five pages, so it mm-hmm. gets a lot accomplished. Then we have Settling Up, with art by Michael Walsh. So we get an old cop in like a wheelchair. He has a partner that tied the man to a
chair.
Is it a cop? Yeah, they were like partners.
How do you know?
I think they say that.
Oh, okay.
So he's like retired. Yeah, he definitely says that.
Okay.
So
one of them does have a mustache.
Yeah, mustache guy ties the man to a chair that shot and handicapped him. So the guy talks about how, like, getting shot ruined his life. He, like, lost his job and his wife, and then his kids left. And then the shooter's like, you lost all that, not because I shot you, but because you couldn't deal with your own shortcomings, and just getting shot brings that out of you and you couldn't handle it. And then wheelchair cop decides not to shoot the man, but his partner does anyway, because it's like, what are you going to do, let him go? And so then they both go out for drinks after, and he's like, you know what, I appreciate what you tried to do. So a little appreciation goes a long way.
I thought it was cool, like, how the guy who shot a guy was turning back on him, being like, yeah, that's not my fault, you know, is in that.
Yeah. He was very confident for being.
He was like calling him out for how he's.
Yeah.
And as if he's thought about it before.
He probably does, you know, but it doesn't make sense that you'd lose your job for getting shot. You know what I mean? Especially if you're a cop. And it doesn't make sense that your, like, wife would leave you.
Well, if you're being like,
oh, your legs don't work anymore.
I don't know if there's many, like, wheelchair-bound cops, you know?
Yeah, but this was part of it. He said he's like a desk dude, and he, like, hated his job. And so, really, he probably just hated it so much and had bad enough attitude that he just lost it. But,
yeah,
very interesting dynamic for him to be tied down and still, like, calling out a lot of his bullshit.
So, I think I liked it more when I thought they were, like, mob bosses or something.
Yeah, I think that does make it a little bit more interesting, just because there's a lot of cop stories in this.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think this is cool. Early Michael Walsh stuff in here, too.
Yeah, super good.
He does a lot of front, like, face shading, I guess. So, does a lot to really emphasize a lot of the acting that they're trying to do here.
Yeah. Fathers and Sons.
Yep, Fathers and Sons. This one's by Jason Copeland. So some of Sandra's gang guys, we get Sandra again, but some of his gang got her gang guys, Larry and Mitch, go to collect money from a guy named Joel. They break their way into his place and they hold a woman there hostage until Joel comes out. Mitch kills the woman because Joel can't pay the 10 grand that he owes to Sandra. And then Mitch starts to threaten Joel's kid. And Larry's like, we don't kill kids, Mitch. Like, put the gun away. But Mitch keeps threatening the kid. And so Larry shoots Mitch for thinking he might shoot the kid. And then has Joel killed with the kid in, like, the other room. But when Larry's trying to leave, the kid shoots at the gang dude. And the kid gets shot when he just, like, turns fire. And so this weighs heavily on Larry. He calls his son to apologize about how bad of a father he's been. And he gets... is killed in a police shootout.
That was an interesting wrinkle. Like, I think that adds more to why he was so sympathetic to, like, a kid. I mean, you should probably be sympathetic to children because that has nothing to do with his dad.
Yeah, definitely. But you could tell that he understands as a father and a drug person that this kid shouldn't be involved in any of this because it's like, it's Joel's fault.
So this one's connecting to the other stories, and Sandra comes up a couple times.
Yeah.
And didn't really connect the dots until later. I think.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Sandra, why do I keep using the name Sandra? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Must be a name that he likes.
Mm-hmm.
There's a line in here when they're trying to get into the apartment. They're like, go get that cock fucking husband of yours. And that line just made me laugh.
Yeah. I didn't think he'd be a dead kid.
Yeah, this is definitely the most surprising one, because I was like, oh, okay, they saved the kid. That's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. And then he's dead later. So kind of bizarre.
Pretty heavy.
Yeah. But this is probably, like, even though there's, like, a dead kid or whatever, it's probably one of my favorite ones.
Yeah, me too.
Just because they really raise the stakes with killing the woman in the beginning. And there's a lot of, like, Joel obviously very scared and crying and stuff like that.
Joel's almost insinuating they had the money, you know.
Yeah,
he's buying himself a couple seconds, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't.
I don't think he had the money. Yeah. So pretty cool one. Next one we get is Midnight Walk with art by Johnny Christmas. There's this dude, Ray. He's like taking a walk in the forest or something. And he finds a woman dead, just kind of posted up on a tree. He tries to use her purse to call somebody because his phone is dead. And that's when a group of people show up thinking that Ray's the person that killed her. And so they start beating the shit out of him and they call the police. But turns out the woman is like still breathing. So it was all a big mistake.
Yeah, big.
This is a quick one.
Whoopsie.
Yeah.
Who doesn't have a phone? Like his phone wasn't dead. He didn't have a phone.
Oh, he didn't have it?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't even have a freaking cell. No.
Yeah, well, that's my only thing.
You ever go on a walk and like, you're like, oh, I forgot my keys.
Not on my phone.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I forgot my phone once on a walk, but I was like taking Kilala on a walk. So I was trying to make sure that she was.
I don't really understand people who don't have like their phone with them like at all times. You know, sometimes Sarah like leave her phone in like the living room and then go do something else.
You just have it on you.
I can't just like text her to get something or whatever.
Does she have a smartwatch?
No.
Yeah, it's a little crazy. I at least have a watch. So if I'm in my house, I can leave my phone on the couch or something and I'll still get texts. But
yeah.
Next one is Carjackers. We got Jason Copeland again on this one with Great Tones by Paul Little. So this one's like some junkies steal a man's car and then they get caught by the police. But Ono Dano turns out the car was already stolen and it had a dead body in it. And the original guy gets to just pin all this on him from some stroke of luck.
Hilarious.
pretty funny one. Because the police are like, they got a damn dead body in here. And they're like, whoa, I'm just a carjacker.
Yeah, they were able to pack like so much in like 5 pages in this one.
Yeah, this is it's more really effective impressive. In whole 5-page story to me than compared to the home wrecker one or whatever.
Yeah.
The Our Home story. But I guess, this one's a fun concept.
I guess they have the splash pages on the right page sometimes when they need to make sure that the title page is on the left.
Yeah. Yeah, just like a little bumper.
Yeah.
Then we have The Stack. We got Jason Copeland with Great Tones by Paul Little again. So Bob gets back home. He finds a man inside his home with a gun pointed at him. The man gives Bob a stack of $5,000 and tells him how little $5,000 is compared to the cost of a life. And Bob tries to give the man more money to save his life, but then he gets shot. This is what I don't really understand too much. Because I think he's trying to make the point like, he's like, is he like a doctor? I don't understand who Bob is.
Bob is just a guy who owes money.
He owes money?
Yeah. And then this dude was paid just to kill him.
Okay.
And so he's just kind of, you know, bringing home and saying that, like, this is how little, like, his life means to his debtors or whatever.
Yeah.
And that, I don't know, I just thought that was interesting, you know?
I thought he was, like, a doctor or something at first, and he's, like, $5,000, maybe to, like, do the operation or something. But then, now I think about it, $5,000 would be probably way more for anything.
Right.
Or $5,000 wouldn't be that much for anything life-changing. But I do like the point that he's making where it's, like, it's not even enough to buy a decent used car, can't put a down payment on a house with it. It's barely enough to live on for more than a couple months. So yeah, I think the point is that he was trying to pocket $5,000 or like screw someone out of $5,000.
And now he's like, dead for it. That's how easy it is to like
just lose
have someone killed.
Yeah.
And it's like cheaper to just have someone killed than to keep like lending him more or whatever, you know, so.
And then we have Stuck with art by Jason Copeland, Great Tones by Paul Little. There's a guy on like a business trip. He got stabbed because he was trying to have sex with the hooker and got stabbed by her, I guess. And he's in the middle of nowhere. And so he's like, oh, I gotta go to a hospital. Can I walk to one maybe? And so he's like on the street trying to walk to a hospital and he gets hit by a drunk driver and they just like leave him there. And so it's just kind of this karma thing that's happening.
I think his wife stabs him. And abandons him because he'd been cheating.
Oh.
And then he's like, oh, I can walk. And then he's like, oh, where's a hospital? Maybe 10 miles. And he just thinks he can like walk it.
He's like, what's the is there like some sort of legal distance between hospitals?
Yeah, and then just more bad luck being hit by a car and people that are just going to run from it.
Yeah. Well, you said some business trip this has turned out to be. Why couldn't I have just stayed at the hotel and watched porn like a good, faithful husband? Yeah, I decided to cheat on my wife with the hooker. Things were going great until she stabbed me in the gut.
That's a crazy hooker, dude.
That's a what?
Crazy hooker.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I mean, probably just stole all of his money and stuff.
Yeah.
Next one is None Between Us by Johnny Christmas with great tones by Paul Little. So there's this like 16-year-old kid named Jesse. He's the ex-boyfriend of a girl in this house. And Jesse has just killed her parents. And she's like, great job. Now we can start a new life together. But I'm going to go pack some stuff upstairs. You stay down here, though. And so she goes upstairs. She calls the police and frames Jesse as like a crazy killer. And he's probably going to kill her. And so the police get there real quick and the police arrest him. And the girl's like, sweet, now I can be with my actual true love, this douchebag looking dude named Greg.
This one is like, meh.
This one is meh, but I like the scene representation. This is what we look like in high school. So, you know, these kids are listening to like Asking Alexandria or something.
There's a Paramore poster on the wall.
Oh, is there?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Good taste.
So Elder Email.
Wait, where?
Like the last, second last
page. Oh yeah, Paramore.
She's got a Meet Is Murder poster too.
Yep, this is definitely like our era. That's fun. So we get Double Tap. This one's by Declan Shalvey. These two guys, Matt and Cecil, are two drug dealers that need to meet with Pietro, who's like a mob boss dude, to explain how they lost 10K of product. They explain that they got robbed and beaten, and someone took the 10K worth of stuff. So Pietro brings in one of the people that actually robbed them to see if Matt and Cecil can confirm him as the dude that robbed them. And it turns out Cecil had planned the attack with this robber and wanted to sell the stolen stuff on the side, cutting out Matt. And so Pietro gives Matt a gun to take out Cecil, but Matt just kind of turns it on everybody else, kills everybody in the room instead of killing Cecil. But then he just kills Cecil anyway because he didn't follow their plan. So
there's all Matt the whole time, but he like made it to where he didn't know a lot of the details so that he can
have some fully deniability.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. These are like super Declan Shalvey.
Dude, I love those. He has such a good crime comic called Bog Bodies. It's like an Irish crime book.
Nice.
It's so fun. But yeah,
we'll have to read it.
This stuff is good. And he has really good like gun action in this, I feel like.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's like definitely blowing some people's brains out. Like this one where he kills the actual like robber, the way that it's done with like a lot of like white markers. It seems that he does like over the top of it too. So pretty cool. You can tell he's built for some pretty good action later down the line. Then we got Hot Shot by Brian Level. So it starts with this drug dealer giving a man named Kelly some heroin, it looks like.
Yeah.
And this new stuff causes him to overdose. The police find the body days later, and they identify it as the brother-in-law to police officer Danny. So then Danny has to go tell his wife that her brother overdosed, and you know, he's like, I'm going to be here for you, whatever you need, and all that stuff. And he was telling like the person that found the body, the police officer found the body. He's like, I can't believe my wife still loves him after all the stuff they did to us. But later, Danny goes to pick up some food and he meets with the drug dealer at the restaurant and gives him the money for killing Kelly, pretty much. So he kind of set all of this up and then acted surprised.
Yeah.
So this is an interesting one.
Mm-hmm.
I really like this artist. I think this is the only one we see him in.
Who is it?
Brian Level.
Yeah, that's good.
I just like a lot of his sort of action pieces. And then he also has some like establishing shots that are quite the vibe because it's just raining in every single one. You see like a new building or whatever. And it's just a dude walking in some rain into the house.
Yeah, that's solid.
Yeah. So very, great crime noir stuff. We have Nightfare, which is by art by J.D. Faith. There's a man that enters a cab and he's bleeding and he points a gun at the cab driver, telling him to just head east. He doesn't really know where he's going yet. The cab driver notices he's slowly bleeding out and passing out, and he's like, "Do you want to go to the hospital?" And he's like, "No, just keep going." And so they just keep driving, and the cab driver waits for him to go unconscious before grabbing his gun and the bag, which he thought was going to have a lot of money in it, but it has barely anything in it. It's got like $40. And the man that's bleeding said that he got shot at by his girlfriend, and so he had to just, like, he shot her back too, but he was kind of just hitting the process. And he's like, "I want to be taken to a hospital now that you're pointing the gun at me." And he's like, "Nope." And so the cab driver just leaves him out on the street and takes his stuff.
I feel like that shit happens, you know?
Yeah, probably. I wonder...
because he ended up killing his girlfriend, and that's kind of why he was running,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, that's probably why he didn't want to get taken anywhere, like, official.
The cab driver thought he had, like, just a bag of money or something.
Mm-hmm.
He's like,
"I'm going to get that money."
Yeah, but it was just, like, clothes because he's running.
Yeah. This artist is very... more cartoony, I guess. Yeah. I don't really know how to put it.
I guess more like simplistic.
Yeah,
but it's good.
But still very cool. Because it's at night that they're doing this like cab drive. So there's a lot of like silhouettes that we see of this dude with the gun, and pretty cool, good stuff. So then the last one we have is Point Taken, which is by Michael Walsh again. We get two more of Sandra's guys expanding the murder book universe. One of them is like this experienced dude, and one of them is like an amateur, kind of on one of his first jobs. And they've just killed a man and are going to get rid of the body. They put him in the trunk. They stop at a diner until morning to avoid any suspicion, kind of run around the forest at night with shovels. So when they eventually make it out to the forest, they've dug a hole, and the more experienced guy pieces together that this amateur dude is supposed to like kill this more experienced guy because he has a lot of dirt and stuff on Sandra, and just kind of, he kind of pieced together that he's probably a big headache for her. So they have a shootout, the amateur is killed, and then the more experienced guy gives Sandra a call, and he's like, "I'm offended that you would do this, especially with such an amateur." And he ends the call saying that he's coming after her. And then he leaves. This one's great. Very John Wick of him.
Yeah.
Feels like.
He also like buries both the bodies, but then realizes that the amateur had the keys.
Yeah.
So like,
he's like, "Oh, I'm just going to walk, I guess."
Yeah. I'm like, just dig him up.
You could, but I don't know. I've never like buried a body. It's probably a lot of work.
Probably. Yeah. Especially after digging like a hole big enough for two bodies.
Mm-hmm. But when someone eventually finds that car, they're going to be like, "What's this shovel in the ground?"
Yeah.
But I like that idea. It reminds me of like The Dark Knight, when one of the Jokers is like, "If I was supposed to take out that guy, and there's been a bunch of people getting knocked out, are you going to take me out?"
I mean, someone's going to take me out.
Yeah, exactly. So I like stories like that. I want to see the sequel story of this guy.
Yeah.
Taking down Sandra, because Sandra's got some sort of criminal empire, it seems like. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, this is definitely the one that like could have more for sure. You know,
this one's got some sauce to it that is worth exploring.
But I think this came out in like 2013 or something. So that hasn't been a sequel, as far as I know.
There's still hope.
Never know. So it's
Michael gonna Walsh might free up.
Yeah.
Who cares about exquisite corpses?
Yeah. So let's get into Back Matter Matters.
Yep.
Back Matters. Got about the authors.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it seems like it was just Ed Brisson who's the author, but there's a little thing about all the artists.
Yeah. We get early Michael Walsh stuff because his notable series are The X-Files Season 10, Zero Number 1. So Marvel Secret Avengers. He did something at Valiant.
And he's got a link to his Tumblr.
His Tumblr. Gotta love that.
And yeah. Declan Shalvey, known for Venom and Deadpool at this point. Oh, and Moon Knight.
He did Venom?
I guess so.
Was he doing Agent Venom stuff?
He's also known for Injection. I don't know.
Yeah, I knew about Injection. I think that's what he was working on at the time, but he had just finished Moon Knight, I think, with Warren Ellis.
Yeah.
So, pretty fun.
And then, like, other noir books from Dark Horse.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Oh, I got in the physical. You got Black Sad, Mind Management, The Black Beetle by Francesco Francavilla. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
It's like a superhero-esque dude, like The Spirit or something.
Oh, that sounds cool.
Green River Killer, The Creep, Tiger Lung, The White Suits, and Sin Titulo.
Nice.
Yeah.
They got hella crime books.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. What would you rate this book, Daniel?
I give it like some like Korean barbecue, you know, like a lot of little plates.
I like that.
And then sometimes you reorder some stuff and get the same thing, but it's, or not like the same thing, but a lot of the same flavors, nice. A lot of different cuts. It's all meaty, you know, but.
But you don't have to commit too hard to any one thing.
Some take longer to cook than others.
Yeah.
But all pretty good.
That works. I would give this a nice diner breakfast meal at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Waiting to bury a body. You know, some eggs, a little bit of toast or whatever.
That was interesting that he didn't want to like be, he didn't want to bury it at night because it's like too obvious, I guess. But everyone's like asleep in the morning.
Yeah. Apparently that's the time to do it.
Yeah, sure.
But I would give a diner meal, diner breakfast meal with a cigarette.
Yeah.
It's a crime book.
You can smoke indoors.
Yeah, at the time when you can smoke indoors.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, overall, I think it's pretty, like, really good, especially for, like, early stuff for a lot of these creators.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I've always liked Ed Brisson, especially, like, his.
He's got some good crime stuff.
Yeah, that's, like, seems to be, like, something he's really strong in. But yeah. I don't know if he does that much or if he's, like, that well known for it.
What has he been doing recently? Is he still working on stuff? I feel like I haven't seen him too much.
I feel like he's done like Marvel things here and there, but
he did have a big stint at Marvel. I think he still might be at Marvel, but let me see. Oh, he was doing some Predator stuff. That's what he was doing.
Oh yeah, he was doing all those.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing Thundercats.
Oh yeah.
That's fun.
That is fun. Yeah, Predator's the thing I was thinking of.
Cause he did like the reboot and then he did like a couple like trades at that. But yeah, good for him.
Yeah. He did a fun Bullseye series, I remember.
Right. I was always a big fan of The Violent.
Yeah.
It came out like 10 years now.
Yeah.
10 years ago.
He did an Iron Fist run. It was all right.
Oh, I guess he did Alpha Flight.
That makes sense. That he's Canadian, Daniel. Canadian. Perfect.
Of course.
Of course, he's Canadian.
He said he did The Secret History of D.B. Cooper.
No, that sounds fun, actually.
Yeah, it does.
Did that guy
he's a letterer on that. Never mind.
Oh. Did that guy that jumped out the plane?
Yeah.
That's cool. Watch the video I say on that once.
Really? That's cool.
Yeah.
D.B. Cooper's interesting. But, yeah.
Let's get into the poll list, Colin.
Do you have in your box?
The poll list, the poll list. What did you shove in your box?
Dan, I don't know what the damn hell is going on. What's coming out this week?
You didn't go to the shop.
That's Tuesday as of when we're recording, Daniel.
That's true. That's true.
We recorded early.
I'm forgetting. This is like the Wednesday of the week.
Yeah.
I didn't have anything in my poll. Yeah.
Okay.
Very rare thing.
Shit week.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of stuff coming out, but there's nothing like new and just continuing stuff of, but nothing that I'm on. So,
Let me see. I also haven't been in the shop in like 2 weeks. Now, can I get Predator Kills Marvel Universe 5?
Nope. I only read the first one. And it was connecting the three before that. So I was like, I think I'm
Undead Iron Fist number 4. I'm just one behind as of right now. Not gonna get Toxic Crusaders.
No. That's not the number one, is it?
What about Beelzebabes?
I saw that. It's like some weird publisher.
I wonder if the Cyberpunk book is any good. I've been playing the game. It's very fun.
Yeah, maybe if we do a video game month.
Ooh, good idea.
I think I wrote some shit.
Yeah, not a whole lot coming out. Is it like a fifth month Wednesday? Or fifth Wednesday month? It is. That's probably why.
Yeah. I guess Colin Bunn did a Cyberpunk run. That's pretty good.
Really?
I have that one written down.
Oh, cool. Alrighty.
Did you read anything?
I just read Batman number 3, Matt Fractions. So I give that back to you. Pretty good issue.
Yeah.
I don't really know what they're working towards if they are, but they had this issue connected with stuff that was happening the issue before.
Right.
With like the two cops that were about to shoot each other. Mm-hmm. And then Batman got shot in the head pretty directly.
Mm-hmm.
But book is still a lot of fun. So I'm enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you read?
I read Strangers in Paradise, number one.
What that?
It's like a romance book.
Ooh.
By Terry Moore.
That's, okay.
I think he did the art on Trouble. Mm. He does a lot of stuff, but that's like kind of his big thing that he's like known for.
His romance?
Yeah. That's like his popular thing. Mm. He's been doing that for like a long time. I think it's like
Trouble is the Marvel one?
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, there's like a big omnibus of it. There's like a lot. He's done like a lot of that. I think it's still coming out.
Cool.
And so I think it's to the point where he's just, I think he's publishing that on like some weird publisher. And so I was just reading that to kind of scope it out for a romance book this year.
Nice.
Because this is one that just kind of always comes up when you Google that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then I was trying to read another trade that I owned, but I didn't quite finish it. But I read the first 5 issues of Crossover by
Donny Cates.
Mm-hmm. Jeff Shaw.
Yeah.
He gives arts on that. You ever read that?
Yeah.
You've read Crossover?
Two issues of it, yeah.
Really? It's really good.
It's awesome.
I think it's so much fun.
I should read more of it. I know. I think I have most of it, to be honest.
Yeah, because I bought the trade and then I bought the issues after that. And I'm just missing like 11 or something.
Yeah.
But
yeah, they were cooking on that one.
Yeah, Crossover is just
there's like a Chip Zdarsky issue, I think, in there.
Number 7.
Yeah.
I read that. Yeah. Yeah, it's super interesting. Mm-hmm. A lot of ideas.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like Donny Cates' writing style. His pacing is really good.
Yeah. And he's got these like kind of crazy ideas, it seems like.
Yeah, kick-ass art. It reminded Jeff me a lot Shaw's of
so good.
It reminded me a lot of that book by Tony Fleeks.
Uncanny Valley.
Yeah. Just like, you know, a lot of comic ideas, I guess. Mm-hmm. And crossover
different
stuff.
Styles.
Yeah. So that was cool.
Yep.
Did you watch anything?
I watched the first two episodes of the Fallout season 2. TV show?
Yeah.
All right. That's all that's out right now for season 2. And I like it still, but they got to pick it up a little bit. I could tell that, like, I know, I still have faith. That's not the right wording. I think this season will be really good. But if I were to just base that off of these two episodes, like just the quality of them, it's like they got to pick it up a little bit.
Is it following like a pretty strict storyline from the games, or
no,
is it
okay? Not at all. It's okay. Just kind of like set in the world.
Gotcha.
Like, these are new characters for the most part, I don't think.
Except for like the Reaper dude or whatever. The red guy.
No, he's like a like type of character in the game, but that's not like a dude in the game.
Okay.
So like really the only one.
What's he called?
He's a ghoul.
Ghoul.
Yeah. So those are like people that were affected by the fallout of the nuclear explosion. But for some reason, he lives for forever. I forget the reason why. But he's been in like the fallout land for like a couple hundred years.
Yeah.
And then I was excited for this season because it's supposed to be like New Vegas. And it still is New Vegas, but they just haven't gotten there yet. Even though they were like just, they're like just looking at it from like a distance. And they're like, oh my God, it's Las Vegas. It still looks great. And then they just like went somewhere else. And I'm like, what are we doing?
Just they went to Henderson.
Yeah. Yeah, they went to some other fuck ass place. And there's like some fun action in it. And there's references to the game because there's like this big dinosaur like building thing that they went into. And I was like, that's a big dinosaur. But fuck, man, they gotta just go to Vegas.
Yeah.
I think it'll still be really good. Also, Kumail Nanjiani's in this season. That was weird.
I think I saw that.
I was like, what were they doing? But at the end of this season, we see some of like the Caesar's Legion group, which I think is an interesting sort of villain group. They're people that like dress all kind of medieval like, and they have a very like big focus on like Julius Caesar from like ancient Rome, because it's like one of the first like successful civilizations and armies and stuff, and so they use a lot of his philosophies, and that's bad because that involves like a lot of slaves and stuff. So
ooh,
yeah, so I think that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Because we just like met them and they're about to get captured or whatever. So I think it'll still be good, but this is not a strong first episode. So we'll see how it ends.
Yeah.
And then I also bought, but I haven't played yet, Expedition 33, now that I have an upgraded Xbox. And that's the game that won like 4 billion Game of the Year awards. So I'm excited for that. I played it a little bit.
Isn't that like the subtitle?
Yeah, it's called Clair Obscur Expedition 33, but a lot of people...
I heard that had like AI involved in it, but
yeah, I looked into that a little bit too. It wasn't like AI just thrown in the game, but I think they had some, like they used AI to come up with some assets that helped them like create assets for the game a little bit. So yeah, not great.
Okay.
But it's also like a technically like an indie studio that made like big waves this year. And the story's supposed to be still be really good. But all of the stuff that's like in the game is what someone has created and put in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, the AI thing is not super fun.
For sure.
We'll see.
Nice.
What have you watched?
I watched A Serious Man, which is a Coen Brothers movie.
Mm-hmm. How many more they got left?
Like four.
Oh, okay. You're almost there.
Yeah. There's like four that I haven't seen. And then like three, that would be like rewatches. I'm just kind of like going to rewatch those at like the end maybe.
Yeah.
No Country and Fargo, I want to watch with like Sarah if I can get her to watch them.
Yeah.
But yeah, this one's one that people really like and is like top five. This one's like bottom five for me. It just like wasn't really for me, I guess. I thought Joaquin Phoenix was in this, but it's that other guy who looks like Joaquin Phoenix who is in like Men in Black 3. I don't know his name.
Are you talking about the alien dude?
Yeah.
You think that guy looks like Joaquin Phoenix?
Hold on. Like based on the trailer or based on the poster, I was like, oh, that's Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah, let me see that. 100%. Yeah. Who is that actually?
Back out of that. That's IMDb. So.
Oh.
His name is Michael Stuhlbarg. This isn't a great picture to back up like what I'm saying, but
they look like different people.
Anyway, he's like this total pushover who has like a lot of bad luck. You know, his like wife wants a divorce and she's like not cheating on him, but like knows who she's gonna like marry next, you know? And then that guy like dies and then the wife like wants him to like pay for his funeral.
Oh my god.
it's just really funny. And there's a lot of stuff involved in like the Jewish church or whatever. Like his son has like his bar mitzvah, but he's like baked the whole time, so he's just like trying to sing in Hebrew or whatever.
Oh gosh.
He pulls it off, but like, I was just like nervous for him. But like it ends super weird to where like it doesn't really like feel like an ending. Like it ends where there's just like a tornado headed towards like the kid's school. And the main character gets a call from his doctor that he had x-rays and then he just like come in. And like that's just how it ends.
What?
Yeah, and like we don't see an x-ray be done or anything, so we don't know about this call coming in.
Yeah. Weird.
I think the theme is like there's not always like a reason for things, and there's not always like a message to everything.
Yeah, some things are just random.
Yeah, which I like understand, but like I had to like listen to a podcast about it to kind of get what understand people what going for. Are going for. Yeah, and I don't know why people like it that much.
Yeah.
It barely has like the subtle sense of humor that they normally have. But I don't know. My list is pretty different to like the film critics that I like listen to and stuff, which I'm cool with, you know.
Yeah.
When there's like 20 movies in a filmography, the lists are going to look different, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
So I was looking forward to this one because people liked it so much, but
yeah. You have a top five for movies this year? Like all movies?
Yeah. But I also haven't watched that many. So it's not really. Yeah,
you did have
final,
a kid in like April.
Right. So there's a couple that I still need to like see that could be ranked that high.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear the list?
Yeah. Probably like.
So
one battle after another.
That's number five.
You probably got like Mickey 17.
That was on my list earlier, but it got knocked out.
Oh, wow. Okay. So then you got Superman?
No.
Fair enough.
There's.
What you got?
Two movies that we've both seen.
That we saw together? Chainsaw Man?
Not that we saw together, but we've both seen.
Oh, we've just both seen them?
Mm-hmm.
Knives Out?
No.
Related theater movies?
Yeah.
Okay, so not like streaming only movies?
Mm-mm.
I don't know what I've fucking seen this year.
Begonia is number two. I have Bring Her Back at number three.
I wasn't as crazy about that one.
I get why people wouldn't be crazy about it, but I just think it's so interesting. And
they did. I think it's a good movie, but I think people are like, oh my God, they did it again. And I just didn't like it as much.
I think like what they pulled off was just done so well that I just liked it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of like things that are like doomy, gloomy and mm-hmm. shit, you know?
I like how much of a gaslighter she was. She was really good at that.
Yeah.
That was very entertaining to watch.
There's a movie I've been telling you to watch like this whole year.
Yeah, well, Phoenician Scheme.
That's number one.
Oh, okay.
And another one. And another one that you, I know you'd love as soon as you. Friendship at number four.
Mm, yeah.
Top five movie.
That one's so accessible for me to watch, too.
I know.
So is Phoenician Scheme. It's on Peacock.
Yeah, I know. I almost rewatched it this past weekend.
Dude, I loved the 10 minutes I watched before I fell asleep, but I was really tired.
Yeah, no, it's kick ass. So, yeah. Do you have a list or no?
No, I got to put that together.
Okay.
But I think I started my letterbox this year and I have like 60 things logged. So
really?
That's pretty good. Yeah, a bit of a cinephile myself.
I think I almost have like 1,000 movies.
Logged?
Just like rated.
Okay.
I've only done like 83 reviews.
I've done 53 this year. So that's about a movie a week.
Yeah, just 74 this year, but those are movies that like also didn't come out this year.
Yeah.
And 944 likes. So.
That's pretty good.
Oh. I also like will think of movies and like, did I rate that? You know? And like, I've seen that.
Mm-hmm.
Surely I've seen more than 1,000, but it just.
Yeah, movies. I'm not going to go through the backlog. if I watch a movie, I'll think of something I think is funny and write down a review for it.
I think it won't like add it to your like stats unless you do a review.
Oh, that's lame. No, I think it does.
I could be wrong, but I think I heard that somewhere.
Okay.
But anyway, Nathan, what are we gonna read next week?
What are we gonna read next week?
We don't have any more Christmas books.
No more Christmas gifts.
Just the two of us. Should we do some like actual gifts that we got from other people this year? Or do we have some lined up? That we got from other people?
No.
What should we do then?
We're doing the beauty.
What?
The beauty from Image Comics.
The Ed Brubaker one? What am I thinking of?
Fatale?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
Not that.
What the hell is the beauty?
The beauty is a book that is getting a show on FX that comes out on the 21st.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I think I've shown you the cover when it was news that that was coming out.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen that.
I saw a commercial for the show during like an NFL game. So
really? That's a big deal then.
Seems pretty promising.
Is this a horror book?
I think there's horror elements.
Mm.
But yeah, Jeremy Hahn, Jason A. Hurley.
All these, they probably do this on purpose, but all of the...
That looks pretty scary, yeah. So
all of each volume has a woman on it and her mouth's open. I wonder if that's on purpose.
Maybe because it's scary.
It is a little bit scary when a woman opens her mouth. You know? I'm just kidding.
Way more scary than a closed mouth.
Yeah, true. That's a joke. Okay, yeah, the beauty. That sounds fun. Alrighty.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching, everybody. Linktree in the bios. So you can like, comment, subscribe to stuff.
What's a good little murder book that you want us to read?
Let us know about crime stuff.
We got to do some more crime on this.
We can do crime podcast month. Probably.
What's the damn last crime book we did?
Let us know. TradeWordsPod@gmail.com.
Yep.
And goodbye.
Goodbye.